There's something missing in today's society. Of course, you know there's a lot of things missing in today's society. But there's one thing that I've noticed that has permeated this entire society. In fact, it's crept in the church as well. And what I'm talking about today is the lack of honor shown to other people. Again, as this society continues to drift farther and farther away from God and from the principles taught through the scriptures, it seems like less and less honor is being shown. Today in the sermon, I want to spend the time discussing the subject of honor. The title of the sermon today is To Give Honor. The first question we must ask is, what is honor? Well, freedictionary.com defines it this way, quote, high respect as shown for special merit, recognition, or esteem, and as a verb, it is to give high respect to revere, or to have high esteem for. So to give honor to someone is to give that person respect, or to hold that person in high esteem. Now, in the Old Testament, most places where the word honor occurs is translated from two words. The first word is Strong's 3513, spelled K-A-B-O-D, pronounced kavod, or it's some form of that word. The root word of kavod literally means heavy or weighty. The figurative meaning is more commonly used to give weight to someone. This would be like you give weight to someone's opinion who you respect and honor. Put in a balance of scale, this person who you have high respect for, their opinion is weighted more than the other person. The second word that's often used is Strong's number 3519, spelled K-A-V-O-D-E, kavod. And it's usually translated as glory, glorious, or splendor, but also it can be translated as honor as well. This particular word, kavod, is used about 200 times in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and most of the time it's translated as glory, but again, it can be translated either one. Now, in the New Testament, the Greek word most often translated honor is the word Strong's 5091, T-I-M-A-O, tamao, or some derivative of that word. And that word means to prize, to fix a value upon. So honor is something that is very valuable and is something that should be highly prized. Again, we see God, to give honor is something God considers very important. But the question asks, who do we give honor to? Why does God consider giving honor that important? Or is giving honor just, when again, one of those old, outdated, and worthless, worn-out things that people used to do? In today's society, we just throw it in a trash bin and get rid of it. Who should we give honor to? And why does God want us to show and to give honor to others? Let's answer these questions. Let's answer some others as well and show us what God expects us to do from the scriptures. Let's start with point number one. Point number one, give honor to God. Give honor to God. We're going to Isaiah 40 and verse 12 in a moment. Isaiah 40, verse 12. But most of us here realize that God deserves all honor. God deserves all glory. Again, the first reason I want to look at this and think about this is God is the great creator. He is the creator of all things, both seen and unseen. He is the one who made the universe. And he's the one who created all of mankind. We know in Genesis 1:26, we know that he said, God made man after his image and after his likeness. So let's go to Isaiah 40, one of several scriptures in Isaiah 40, about God as our creator. Isaiah 40, we'll start in verse 12. Isaiah 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Measured the heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in a scale, and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? And with whom did he take counsel, and who directed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. Verse 18. To whom then will you liken God? What or what likeness will you compare to him? Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? This is God saying. To whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name and by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, or my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the eternal, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Think about what all these scriptures we just read. The incredible things God can do, has done, created the entire universe. Everything. He has done that. It's an astounding thing if you think about it. Should we not give honor to our great God who has done this? Most certainly we should. Let's go back in verse 5 here in chapter 40. Let's read a few verses again. This is with the word kavod, which is a lot of times translated as glory. Let's go back and read verse 5. And we could easily, again, when you read glory, could say honor. The glory or the honor of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's go to chapter 43. Chapter 43, and we'll read verse 7. Again, these glory and honor could be interchanged with each other. 43 and verse 7. So when you read this, think about it. Of the 200 times the word kavod is used in the Bible, 35 times it's used here in Isaiah alone. Chapter 43, verse 7. And as we read this, again, we're thinking, we should be giving God the glory and the honor for what he is, our great creator. Verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, and who's called by my name is God's name. We are the children of God. Everyone who's called by my name, who I have created for my glory or my honor, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Chapter 48. Chapter 48, we will read verses 11 through 13. Chapter 48, verse 11. For my sake, for my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned? I will not give my glory or honor to another. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call them, they stand up together. Again, God is the creator. He is the one. Again, he is the one who deserves all honor and all glory. We're going to Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. Appreciate that very much. Psalms chapter 103, we'll read the first five verses. And as we read these verses, let's think about all the wonderful things that God gives us. Psalms chapter 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Think about that. What God does for us, he forgives us all our iniquities. He delivers us from destruction, destruction that really, really we deserve. But in his mercy and his kindness, he delivers us. And he provides for us our food and our well-being, heals even our physical diseases. Should we not give honor to a loving Father who does that? Most certainly we should. Most certainly we should. David wrote many things in the book of Psalms about honor. Let's read a few more. Psalms chapter 29. Psalms chapter 29 and read verses 1 through 2. Psalms chapter 29. Verse 1. Give unto the Lord, you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I like to read these two verses from the New Living Translation, where they substitute honor. Honor the Lord, you heavenly beings. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Again, give God the honor. Give God the glory as our Creator, a loving Father. Psalms chapter 72. Psalm 72, we'll read verses 18 and 19. And as we read these again, this word translated glory could easily be translated honor and honorable. Psalms chapter 72, verses 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious or honorable name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory or honor. Amen and amen. Let's look at one more, Psalms chapter 104. We will read verses 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 104, verses 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. You cover yourself in light, with light as with a garment, who stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Again, remind us who is the great Creator, our God. Let's give another reason that we should give honor to God. Malachi chapter 1. We read verse 6. We'll give honor to God again because he is our Father. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. Here God was correcting the priest in the book of Malachi who had forgotten, the priest had forgotten, who they were serving. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. As a son honors his father, and a servant his master, if I am the father, if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? They had forgotten who God was. God is our Father. And they had forgotten it. We're going to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. We'll read verse 23. John, here in John, he talks about Jesus Christ and what he had to say about honoring the Father. Again, God is our Father. He deserves a respect shown to a Father. And here in John chapter 5, verse 23, we'll read what Jesus Christ had to say about all those that all should give honor both to the Father and to the Son as well. John 5, verse 23. Breaking into it, he says, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So again, we're supposed to honor both the Father and the Son. The word here, honor, again, means to prize, to fix a value upon. In other words, is if you won a very special prize, you won the lotto, you won $500 million, you'd be excited, wouldn't you? That'd be something you would say, great, fantastic, that's something valuable. But this is even more valuable than that. This is the kind of honor and the way you should treat the honor towards God is something valuable, something precious, something very, very special. That is the way we are to treat our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as well. So how should we honor God? In what way should we honor God? What can we do to give Him honor? We're going to Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to read verses 13 and 14. We honor God by loving Him, by obeying Him, and by keeping His laws and His commandments. In fact, we honor God by exactly what we're doing here today. We honor God by keeping His Sabbath day. Isaiah chapter 58. We will read verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Not only are we supposed to keep the Sabbath by not working 24 hours, it says we must consider the Sabbath day a delightful day. A delightful day, a very pleasant day. A day to set aside our ways and concentrate on what our Father wants us to do, and to give God the glory, to give God the honor that He deserves, again, as our Creator, as our Father. That is what this day is for. And again, we keep that, we understand. That is one of the ways that we give God honor. Humanly speaking, it's a little tough, you say, to keep the Sabbath. Most people in the world would tell you it's not. It's very hard to keep the Sabbath. There's too much going on Saturday. But to give God the honor that He deserves, it requires obedience, doesn't it? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and read verse 9. Proverbs 3, verse 9. One more place, one more scripture when it comes to this. Solomon tells us another way that we can give God honor. You might not think of it this way, but it's a way that, again, we can do actions that we can take to give God honor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Most of us know this scripture. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. By tithing, we are actually giving God honor. The reality is we're acknowledging to God that all things come from Him, and we're just giving a little back to what He has given us. Very little in comparison. But it is a way that we do give God honor, by giving tithes. And again, it acknowledges He is the one who gives all things. Let's go to second point. Point number two. Point number two. Honor the King. Honor the King. Now that's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? It sure seems like it today. Look at the society we live in today. Even after this very tough presidential election we had just recently, the mudslinging hasn't stopped, has it? In fact, it seems like it's gotten worse and worse and worse. You know, during the elections, it seemed that all sides seemed The way to make yourself better is to throw more mud at the other person. I guess the person with the less mud on it wins. That's the way society treats us. Constantly tearing one another down. Constantly trying to destroy each other. And again, it hasn't stopped since the election. If anybody watches the news, you can figure that out really fast. There is no honor. Instead, the name of the game seems to be destroy anyone you do not like. Destroy them in any way possible. Very few, it seems, even considers what God tells us, that we are supposed to give those in charge, even in the government, those in charge, we are supposed to give them honor. There is a certain amount of honor that goes with it. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we will read verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2. God, through His scriptures, His word, He tells us again, we are to give honor to those that are in charge. Americans aren't like that normally, are we? We tend to go after each other pretty bad. But that's not what God said we should be doing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as those who have been sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor men. Honor the king, sorry. We're supposed to give, why are we supposed to give that? Why does God expect us to give honor to the rulers? Verse 17, where the word king is, it's Strong's number 935, and it means a sovereign or a king through the notion of foundation or the underlying basis of principle of something. So let me ask you a question. Where does the basis of all power, both on this entire earth and the entire universe, where does the basis of that power come from? Who is the one in charge, ultimately, of all power? Where does it come from? It comes from God, does it not? He is the one in charge. He is the one who allows those who are in power to be in power. Let's go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we'll read verses 9 through 11. This is where Pilate was speaking to Jesus Christ. If you remember, he told Jesus Christ that, you know, he had the power, he had the authority to do what he wanted with Christ. Jesus Christ had something else to say to him to make you think about what he said. Actually, let's start in verse 8. John chapter 19 and verse 8. Therefore, when Pilate had heard that saying, he was more afraid. And he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power," or as a marginal say, authority, "to crucify you and the power, the authority to release you? I'm the king. I'm in charge. Don't you know I can do this?" What did Jesus say? And Jesus answered him, "You could have no power at all against me and unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who's delivered me to you has greater sin." You notice in verse 11, again, Jesus said that power, that authority came from whom? It came from God, from above. That is why we are to give honor to those in charge. That office of authority is given from God, and we are to honor that office. And as long as the laws coming from that government or that office do not conflict with the laws of God, we are to obey those laws. Again, this says this is the will of God, to glorify His name, to put to silence foolish people. We are free. But we're not free to do what we want. We're free to obey. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we'll read the first seven verses. Romans 13, verse 1 through 7. This particular set of verses have been used many times by certain people to say we must obey everything that the kings or the leader of this world tell us, no matter what. But that's not what these scriptures say. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Again, that is the offices are appointed by God, that authority. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. They are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, the word translated minister here in verse 4 and 6, Thayer's Greek lexicon defines it as this: one who executes the commands of another, the servant of a king. Again, we got to, where does that authority come from? And it comes from God. Now, again, we're told to respect and honor those in authority and obey the laws of authority, which ultimately comes from God. So does that mean that they have, because they have the office authority from God, that we must obey everything they do? Everything they tell us to do? Of course not. We know if there's a conflict between the laws of man and the laws of God, which they are, we are to obey God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Most of us could quote that without even realizing where we're going. Acts 5, verse 29. Again, we are to be subject to the authorities. And sometimes being subject to authorities may cost us a lot. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. This is when Peter and the other apostles were told and threatened not to preach the gospel. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. As we can see, God expects us to give honor to our leaders, again, but how can we honor them? How can we honor our leaders? And it's something to think about when so many of them seem to hate everything that is good at times. Some of the leaders, they hate God, it seems like, and everything that is godly. And yet God tells us that we're supposed to give those leaders honor. Again, we have to keep in mind the office in which they hold. The office in which they hold. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with their opinions. It doesn't mean we agree with their way of life. I'll give you an example that I personally use. I try to remember, and I don't always do it, but I try hard to remember when I talk about the president, whether it was the former president, the current president, or the next president, to call him Mr. So-and-so, not just his last name. I may not agree with anything that particular president believes in, but there is a certain respect, a certain honor that goes with that office. And God expects us to show that honor and that to that office. It's out of, again, out of respect. This also goes when it comes to the police, other officials like this. Over the past several years, we can see what has happened to the honor, the police. Very little's honor has been shown to the authorities. And what's the end result? We've seen it the last few years. The riots, the destruction. Without that honor and respect shown to authority, what happens to a society? It sinks into anarchy. and destruction without that kind of respect and honor. And I realize that not every politician, not every police officer does what's right. And I understand that. But again, God expects us to show that honor to that office they hold. And that's something that we need to teach our children as well. Teach them that honor and respect we should have for those in authority. Let's go to the third point. Point number three, honor in the church. Honor in the church. We're going to Romans chapter 12. We'll read verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Several aspects of honor in church I want to cover today. Again, let's start out in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Here in Romans chapter 12, Paul was reminding those at Rome and us as well as we read it, that we are all one body and how we should be treating one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love, and honor given preference to one another. Let me read this. I want to read this from two other translations. New Living Translation says it this way. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honoring one another. The New English Version says it this way. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Think about that. Think about what we just read. We are, as a body of Jesus Christ, everyone who is led by, has God's Spirit, and who is led by the Spirit of God, we as a body of Jesus Christ are supposed to take delight and even outdo one another in showing honor to each other. Think about how few offenses there would be in the church if we applied that all the time. How few offenses there would be in the church if we were out to show the other person the honor and delight in showing that honor. Again, how few problems there would be in the church, in the brethren, if we esteemed each other that way and we gave one another that honor. You know, it would be amazing, wouldn't it? It really would if we viewed each other. But we should, because we are the body of Jesus Christ. We are the members of the body, all of us. And we should extend that honor one to another. Individually and collectively, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Remember back in John, where we read earlier, that we are supposed to honor both the Father and the Son? Who is the church? The body of Jesus Christ. We are to show honor to one another. Very important. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, we're told God composed the body, giving greater honor to the part which lacks it. God is the one who composed the body, and He is the one who gives the honor. He's given the body great value, something to be prized. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we'll read verse 26. John chapter 12. We'll read verse 26. Again, I just can't think about it. If we did honor one another and try to outdo one another in giving each other honor, how much more the church, and I'm talking about the entirety of the church, all the members of the body of Christ, how much better we would get along with that attitude. John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor. If we serve Jesus Christ, God Himself will give us honor. God will look at us as something very prized, very special, something with extreme value. You think about what the great God and the honor He's given us. He's given us the opportunity to be in His family. What a tremendous honor that is. What a tremendous honor that God has given us. There's another aspect of honor in the church I want to discuss. That is honor given to those in charge, those called into the ministry. There is a certain honor that goes with being an elder in the church. Let me give you a little personal perspective on that. After Dr. Randy and Erwald and I were ordained by Dr. Ward, we had a little conversation about this subject. Dr. Ward said, some people now may treat you a little bit differently, some better, some worse. And I couldn't help but think, now why would that happen? Why would someone treat me any different? I'm the same person I was, you know. However, it wasn't too long after that conversation, someone came up to ask me, well, do I have to start calling you Mr. Crane now? And I thought, okay, I never saw that one. And I said, well, what did you call me before, Walter? I said, that's fine. You know, I thought that, I never even crossed my mind. It took me a while, because I'm a little slow. It took me a while to grasp what Dr. Ward had been told us. I was being treated differently, thankfully for the better, not the worse, though I'm sure that's coming too. And I came to understand, but it's not because of me per se. It's not because of me. It's because of the office that I was put into, the office which I was ordained to, the office which God himself gave the honor to. That's why I was being treated differently. It's because people wanted to honor God and to give that honor, and it was treating me differently. It was because they were honoring God. It wasn't me. Again, it took me a little while to figure that one out. But I realized even in the world, my mother, who's not in a church, she was very happy when she found out I was ordained in the ministry. She considered it a great honor to have a son in the ministry. So there is a certain amount of honor that goes with being in the ministry. But it is the honor of the position that God has created. You know, and I try very hard, and I know all of us try very hard not to bring dishonor to that office. It's very important. But it is a little bit different, to be honest with you. It took me a while to figure that one out. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we'll look at some other scriptures. Look at some scriptures concerning the ministry. Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct. The word I want to look at today on this particular verse is the word translated rule. Now, some read this word rule and have different opinions of what the word rule means. Some thinks it means rule with a rod of iron, to take that rod of iron out and take care of the congregation. But this is not what this word actually means. If you look up the word, Strong's number 2233, and it means to lead. It means to lead. How does a shepherd lead its flock? How does a shepherd lead its flock? He leads them by showing them the way to go, doesn't he? He doesn't beat them with his rod. If he beat them with his rod, what would they do? They'd run away from him, wouldn't they? They'd be afraid of him, wouldn't they? He doesn't yell at them. He doesn't scream at his sheep. He doesn't at all. He leads them. He leads them by example. He leads them so they will be well fed and kept from harm. That's what this word rule means. He leads or rules his sheep out of love and concern for the sheep. It's not to oppress the sheep. It's to rule again, to lead. Read verse 17. Obey those who rule, lead, over you. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as to those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, that would be unprofitable to you. In verse 24. Greet all those who rule over you and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, when you read that rule, it means to lead. as a shepherd leads the flock gently, carefully, out of concern and love. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Again, Paul writing about those who are in the ministry and what they are supposed to be doing and who they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. Paul wrote, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy. For by faith you stand." The King James Version says helper. The New King James says fellow helpers. It's translated from Strong's number 4904, and it means to be a co-laborer or a companion in labor. All of us together in the church of God are laborers doing what God wants from each and every one of us. Not a one person, no one, is better just because of the office they hold. We are all fellow laborers with Jesus Christ. All fellow laborers. But again, there is a certain amount of honor that God has put into that office. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll read verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Paul instructing Timothy about how he should treat the elders who worked with him. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine." I'd like to read this verse from the New English Translation. "Elders who provide effective leadership must be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in teaching." The word here, rule, defined from Thayer's Greek lexicon, is to preside over, to be a protector of, to give aid, to rule, to care for. In other words, the elders who preside, who protect, who care, who give aid to the brethren, this is the job the ministry is given. To care for, to protect, to watch over. As we see, God is the one who gives the office and the honor in it. And all of us, again, because we want to honor God, should give that honor to that office that is required. Even if the person, again, and there are ministers in the past who've done it, have done stuff to dishonor the office, God still requires us to honor that office in the ministry. Let's go to the fourth point, the final point. Point number four, honor in the family. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Honor in the family. Exodus chapter 20. We'll read verse 12. Where God spoke to the children of Israel and gave the Ten Commandments. It was repeated later in Deuteronomy 5, but let's go to Exodus 20 and read verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. Be good. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Think of it, this commandment. It is so important to honor parents, both the father and the mother, that God listed it in the Ten Commandments. Giving appropriate honor to parents is just as important as not stealing, just as important as not lying, just as important as not committing murder, just as important as all those things. Honoring your parents. That's how as important it is to the great Creator God. And He is the one who commands us to give our parents that honor. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We'll read verses 16 through 19. Matthew 19, verse 16 through 19. Again, if you think about that, the commandment of honoring your parents, just as important as not murdering or lying or committing adultery. Extremely important for God to put in the Ten Commandments. Matthew 19, this is the account where the rich young ruler had come, the rich young man come to Jesus Christ, and ask Christ what good thing must he do to have eternal life. Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Good question to ask. So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So to have eternal life, we must keep the commandments. This includes giving honor to the parents. Now, the word honor here translated is Strong's number 1591. It's T-E-M-A-L, tamao. And it means, again, to prize, to value. In this account listed all three Gospels, the word is used the same. We are supposed to prize or value our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, same word Paul used in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Paul was given instructions to the Ephesians on how to deal with their family and different family issues that come up. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth." First one, Paul tells the children to obey, and this word could be easily translated as to listen to or hearken to. Then Paul tells them we must honor the parents as well. So I have a question to ask you. Why is giving honor to parents that important? What if the parents aren't honorable? Do we still have to give honor to the parents? And if so, how do we do that? Does God give a pass to those whose parents are very dishonorable? Think about how some parents have been. Some parents have murdered the other parents. Husband killed the wife, wife killed the husband. Some parents have killed their own children. Some parents have abused their children in many different and incredibly evil ways. Some have abandoned their children, sold them into prostitution. Do they get a pass? Does God expect still those children to honor their parents? Some people would say, well, that's just not fair. The parents aren't honorable. Why should we have to give them honor? How many of you here know this cartoon character called Johnny Test? Some of you might, some of the younger people. I know my grandkids do. We've seen many of them. Johnny Test is a cartoon. Now he's a 10, 12-year-old boy. Got a talking dog, too, by the way. He does all kinds of crazy things. He'll do these things, like he'll want to make a snowball so big that he can't control it, and it rolls down and destroys the village. He always says at the end, "Huh, I never saw that coming." Was God like that? Was all the parents prior to giving the Ten Commandments to Israel perfect? And when God gave the Ten Commandments and included that one, and all of a sudden the parents are perfect, God said, "Hey, I never saw that coming." I don't think so. He knew mankind from the very beginning. He saw parents from the beginning. He knew what parents were like, could be like, and how dishonorable some parents were. But he still gave that commandment to honor the parents, didn't he? Honor your father and your mother. Now, my parents divorced about 30 years ago, and it was very difficult. I had a hard time with this commandment because, parents aren't supposed to do those things. And again, divorce is pretty mild compared to what some parents have done. But you think, well, God, why do I have to give them honor? Look what they've done to the family. Look how they've destroyed the family. Why should I have to give them honor? Difficult for me for quite a while to work through. And through a few years after, it took a while. But you know, the reason I did, because I realized that God said, there's a commandment to honor your parents, to respect your parents. And because I honor my Father in heaven, I made myself do it. Again, eventually you get past some of that. But you have to understand there's a reason that God gave that. Parents aren't perfect. And I realize it. And I love my parents very dearly. And I love them very dearly. But again, it was a very difficult situation. We're supposed to honor the office, as you want to call it, of the position of a parent. If you think about that. Because again, parents over the years have done so many terrible things to their families. I know of one family, and I didn't know it at the time, but the parents had sexually abused all the children, both the mother and the father. That's a terrible thing. God doesn't give those children a pass still, though. He still says you must honor your father and your mother. Very difficult situation. Very difficult situation. But again, he is the one that has it, set it there. And there's a reason for it. And the reason is by giving the parent the honor, the office honor. Again, we're honoring our Father in heaven. And you have to remember, those parents eventually will have the opportunity to change. And if you or someone you know has had parents like that, you got to realize one day you'll see them again in the right circumstance, and it'll be a whole different world. It'll be a whole different world. So how do those who've had parents like that, and perhaps the parents are even dead now, how do you give honor to a parent who's like that and may be dead and you can't talk to them? Or even if they're alive, what do? Do you go spend time with them and pretend nothing's happened? No, you can't do that. It's just not possible. What do? Well, one thing you have to do is forgive. That's one thing you have to do. The other thing you have to remember, you have to respect that position of a parent that God has placed. It is a wonderful position that God has given to be a parent. And you have to be careful how you think about them and how you talk about them. Because remember, again, you will see them one day again. And things will be different then. God made the family structure to function in such a way that parents are supposed to be giving genuine love, expressing it, guiding and directing the children to maturity. But we know this world is ruled by Satan at this time, and mankind has really gone off in a lot of different ways. But even if we can't have that special bond, which we all desire, with our parents, we can have that special bond with our Father in heaven. A tremendous bond we can have with Him, our parent. What a tremendous blessing we have knowing that and being able to understand that. It's just, like I said, this family, honor in the family is a very, if you spend time looking at it, it's a very difficult thing because there's a lot of emotion involved. But ultimately, God says, honor your father and your mother. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll read verse 7. Let's look at one more area in which God expects honor in the family. And this is pointed towards me and all of us husbands out there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Peter's giving instructions to the husbands on how to treat their wives. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this particular word honor is Strong's number 5092. It's spelled T-I-M-E. It's called Tame. And it means a value or precious or honor. So God, through Peter, was telling us that husbands are to treat their wives as something very special and precious and valuable. We don't always do such a good job on that, do we? But God tells us that's what it's supposed to do. We've seen now that the Bible has a lot to say about honor. Let's go to Mark chapter 7. We'll read one more set of verses about honor. There's many, many, many scriptures we could read about honor. Mark chapter 7. Let's read it as a warning to us when it comes to honor. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 7. Jesus Christ was quoting from the book of Isaiah about the way that Israel was honoring God. And it's not the way that we want to honor God. Mark chapter 7. I start in verse 6. Let's start verse 6. And he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Honor, to give God honor, is an action. It requires actions. Just talking about it doesn't do a thing. It's just hypocritical. And you'll know many people who will talk over the years about how much they love God and how much et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Meantime, you see him stab other people in the back. God doesn't take lip service. He wants action from us. Action honoring him. Not like there we just read. So today as we finish up, we have to remember that first and above all, and above anything else, God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, deserve all honor. And we should make sure we honor them continually, thinking about it. He is the Creator God. He is the one who created all of us. He is the one who's given life. He is the one who sustains life. He is the one who will give us eternal life. Again, we should give them all honor and glory and praise to God. God is also the one who set up different offices or positions in this life. And he has told us to give those offices, those positions, honor, the honor which is due to those offices. We are to give honor to the leaders of our country. Even if we do not agree with them, we still must give them the due honor the office requires. Of course, we're supposed to obey God first. But as long as their laws do not disobey God, we are to honor and obey them. God is the one who allows them to be an authority that they've been given for the office to serve. We must give honor to those who have authority in the church as well. But also, we must remember, we must give that same honor. We must give honor to all the members of the body of Jesus Christ. See if we can outdo one another, giving honor to each other. We must honor our parents, whether they're good or they have been bad, whether they've been honorable or dishonorable. Even though we may think they may not deserve it, God says we are to honor our parents. And as husbands, we are to give honor to our wives, to treat them very preciously, very special. Very special. And in Proverbs, I forget where it's at, it says that he who finds a wife finds a good thing from the Lord. Wives are very wonderful, very precious. Us husbands need them badly. We wouldn't do well without them. And we are to treat them that well. We are to treat them as precious jewels. I would like to conclude today by going to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and reading verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 17. And I know the subject of honor, you could spend hours and hours and hours, but you guys would leave me if I did that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.